If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. Here it is, What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Every week at this time, three or four, maybe five terrific topics in his specialty. What's Toxic.com is his website. What's the lead in your mind for Dr. Ginsberg today, Dr. Mike?
I like the story about the oil tankers and whether they're a problem or we're just hearing about them more now.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is getting bigger and more obvious because we are producing more crude oil in the continental United States from places like the Dakotas, where they are getting into some harder-to-reach oil, but they're bringing it up and spreading it around towards refineries in the south. And it's coming right through the Northeast, as Joe and I were just talking about, coming right through New York State. Albany, New York has become a major hub for all of this rail transport of crude oil that's being domestically generated. And all of that wouldn't be a problem, except that our rail system has not been designed to handle this amount of oil, this tonnage coming through it. There's been more derailments. There's been fires, spillage into rivers. The latest one was in Lynchburg, Virginia. So the tankers made it that far down and then derailed and were threatening if the city had to be evacuated. Well, part of the city had to be evacuated because they were afraid that it was a highly combustible situation, as they say. So, we don't really have the infrastructure, and the whole argument of building pipelines versus just doing what we've always done and truck things or rail things. And, you know, all this is stopgap because one hopes that our domestic oil production is something we won't need in the future when we have more less fossil fuel-oriented fuels. So the short term has been a Band-Aid, a patch, and it's becoming more dangerous. You believe me, in my field, we recognize these kinds of hazards as toxicologists as the immediate, get out of Dodge kind of hazards. If a train derails carrying chemicals, carrying fuel, it's a major evacuation hazard. Nobody wants to live next door to this kind of danger. And so if we are going to rely on rail transport and highways, we certainly have to do a better job with more modernized tanker cars and tracks if this is the way we're going to be shipping oil around.
Senator Chuck Schumer here in New York, what he's working on is, and he held a press conference this week about it, and this was just before the Lynchburg train derailment this week. What he's got a problem with, evidently they're not really sure what is in these carriers. There's no accountability in terms of any accuracy in what these trains are carrying, and then when something happens, then we saw what we saw in Lynchburg this week. So that's one thing he's concerned about too.
Yeah. No, there have been cases where many people have died from these derailments. So anyway, I don't think it's a huge issue for everybody, but if you're living right along these rail corridors, and some towns are right, you can see it right over your backyard fence, there is a concern there.
Okay, air pollution scrubbing billboards. Gary, what do these things do?
This is one of those examples of what's not toxic, and that is taking toxic chemicals out of the air. This is Lima, Peru, where this university down in Lima a couple of years ago developed a fog to water collector out of a billboard. So in other words, it pulled moisture out of foggy air and condensed it down into drinkable water. So now they've got a billboard that scrubs pollution, and we're talking about not only dust and particles and some chemicals, but also pollen. I mean, think about hay fever sufferers and how you might want to have a billboard put up in your yard. So, look, normally I think of billboards as being fairly toxic to the eyes, you know, highway pollution and that. But this is a non-toxic version where they might actually be able to scrub the air. And the way it works is that it pulls air towards it. It pulls enough air towards it that it could help improve the air quality for five city blocks. So one, think about that, one sizable billboard for five city blocks, not bad. And it pulls the air towards it, it mixes it with water, does a thermodynamic reaction with it, and actually keeps the pollutants in the water phase and keeps it out of the air. So impossibly a breakthrough of sorts. Again, you know, nobody likes to have too many billboards, but if the billboard is doing something good for the environment, you know, why not? I think more and more we're going to start seeing whether it's solar arrays in fields or windmills or these kinds of billboards or buildings that absorb particles out of them. We're going to start seeing our built environment looking more towards making us more adaptable to what the natural forces are around us.
Gary, on that billboard, is the energy power to suck the particles out from solar?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't done solar yet, which in Lima, Peru, if you know what it looks like in Lima, you'd know why it's not solar based. I mean, it's always pretty foggy there, but there's no reason why they couldn't, Mike.
Okay, story number three, Gary. BPA. We talk about BPA a lot. The connection between BPA and miscarriage.
Yeah, well, you know, this is, you know, taking the BPA concern, which we generally say is a reproductive endocrine, and it hones it down on a very specific sector of the population, and that is women who are having fertility issues on the female side of things. This was 115 women in a fertility clinic, and they were, and a certain percentage of them, a fairly high percentage of them, had miscarriages. So these are already women at risk because they're in a fertility clinic to start with. And the women with highest levels of BPA, and again, BPA comes from, we'll talk about that in a minute, where BPA comes from, but the women with the highest levels of BPA had an 83% higher risk of early miscarriage. And you know, that suggests something that we in toxicology appreciate about populations, that those who are the most vulnerable tend to show the effect the greatest because they have the least reserve, the least homeostasis, and mechanisms to combat the effects of the chemical. So, look, this is just one study, but, you know, the prudent precaution approach would be that if you are at high risk for miscarriage or reproductive problems, you would want to avoid, you know, canned food because of the BPA liner, handling a lot of cash register receipts. You wouldn't be trying to have a baby and working as a cash register clerk, for example.
Well, but Gary, is not the problem with the cash register receipts much greater than canned food? And as I remember, you quoted a study a couple weeks ago, where maybe a couple months ago, where people who wore gloves, who were cash register receipts, were able to handle it without getting a high level.
Yeah, but Mike, it's both, because there's been a recent study that shows that people who were taken off of any dietary sources that had touching plastic, so no microwavable plastic food, no canned food, so they ate at home, mostly natural or fresh or frozen diet, their BPA levels went down by half. So that had nothing to do with cash register receipts. So you could drop your BPA level both by fresh and frozen and also by no cash register receipts.
All right. We'll leave it there, Gary. Thank you much. Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Check his website's fantastic. It's whatstoxic.com, whatstoxic.com. Our email address is udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. We'll move on to more of the fantastic medical stories of the week. Can you afford your medicine? How about this? Doctors don't ask. And this is exciting news in the area of regenerative medicine. An experiment is growing new muscle in men's injured legs. How about that? We'll talk about it. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.